course through me, teaching and learning are your greatest strengths now, because they enable you to change your mind and help others to change their mind. Refusing to change your mind will not prove that the separation hasn't occurred. The dreamer who doubts the reality of his dream while he's still dreaming is not really healing. I love that line. The dreamer who doubts the reality of his dream while he's still dreaming. I'm inside the dream, saying that this is a dream, and I keep calling this a dream or calling this an illusion while I'm still making up more illusions. Then I haven't really healed my split mind, and that's what most people do. They say this is, they're getting the course for a while, and they go, this is an illusion, this is an illusion. But they really are still making illusions at the same time. They still have their fears, still have their worries, still have their fantasies, still coming up with delusion. And so he says the person who doubts the illusion while they're still dreaming, they really not, you're not really doing anything to say this is an illusion while you still keep on making up more and more illusions in your mind, or more reinforcing more of the false ideas but not telling yourself the true ideas. He says that the dreamer who doubts the reality of his dream while he's still dreaming is not really healing his split mind. You dream of a separated ego, and then you believe in a world that rests upon a separated ego. This is very real to you. You can't undo it by not changing your mind about it. I'm not going to undo the separation by not changing my mind about the separation. He says, so if you're willing to renounce the role of guardian of your thought system and open it to me, that's Jesus, higher self, whatever word you want to use, he said, I will correct it very gently and lead you back to God. So that paragraph covered everything about the course. Actually, it was the whole course in a paragraph. You know, the first thing he says is that the reason why you think you're separate is because you're dreaming that you have a separate identity, and then you're seeing a whole world that's based on this idea that you have a separate identity. Okay, everybody with me on that? I think I have a separate identity. Now I see a whole world based on the idea that I have a separate identity. He says, and it's very real to us. It is. It does look like I'm Earl Purdy in a separate world. It does look real. Then he says, but you won't undo it by not changing your mind about it. Which seems pretty obvious, that I'm not going to undo my false ideas unless I change my mind. So he's telling you, Earl, unless you change your mind, you're not going to undo the ego. You're not going to undo the separate world. You're not going to do it as long as you don't change your mind. So now this is the part that I think most course students miss. If you are willing to renounce the role of guardian of your way of thinking, if you're willing to open your way of thinking up to me, I will correct it and very gently lead you back to God. Now notice that Jesus says in the course, he'll correct your way of thinking and bring you back to God. My first error is, I think it's up to me to correct my thinking by myself. And my second error, the course says, is you need to stop protecting your old way of looking at things. You need to stop being such a guardian of the ego. And you need to stop being the guardian of your ego and open your mind up to your higher self so they can correct it and lead you back to God. He says, every good teacher hopes to give his students so much of his own learning that they will one day no longer need him. So if you're a good teacher, you want to give somebody so much of what you've learned that they no longer need you. It's funny, you can give people so much at the beginning of a relationship that they don't really need you anymore. That if you've ever had the experience of something, you really opened up to somebody and then they were gone. It's in a sense you gave them everything you had to give, and they didn't need you anymore. And when you're not needed anymore, then you move on. That's how you can tell, you know. And so a lot of times it's like people come and they get what they need in one trip. So they come to the class once. Some people come years. Some people come months. It's that you come as long as you're getting what you think you need, and then you move on. So the course says this is the one true goal of a teacher. But it's impossible to convince the ego that it's about getting someone to the point that they no longer need you. It's hard to get the ego to believe that it's really about getting a person to the point that they don't need you. The ego is just the opposite. It's the part of me that wants to make sure somebody needs me. It's impossible to convince the ego of this because it goes against all the ego's own laws. But remember that laws are set up to protect the continuity of the system in which the lawmaker believes. It's natural for your ego to try to protect itself. It's natural for your ego to try to protect itself, the once you've made your ego. It's natural for your ego to try to protect itself, the once you've made your ego. But it's not natural for you to want to obey the ego's laws, unless you believe the ego's laws. The ego can't make this choice because of the nature of its origin. You can because of the nature of yours. So it's natural for your ego to try to protect itself the once you've made it. But it's not natural for you to keep obeying your ego unless you just want to. Any questions, any comments about that paragraph?
Ego is fully entrenched.
It's what you think you are. It's what I think I am. It's my identity.
I read a while back, I think, in Brent Haskell's book, where we look on the ego as God looks on us.
Yeah.
God considers us his creation. So we consider the ego in this world our creation. It's nothing more than illusion, but we still have that affinity for what we thought we created.
And that matter of fact, the statement that you're saying is in the course too. It's basically saying we react to our ego the same way as a parent reacts to its offspring. It protects it. I made up my personality. I made up my way of looking at things. That's my child. I'm going to protect my way of looking at things, and I'm going to try to fit everything into my way of looking at things because I'm the guardian of my way of looking at things. And he's in the course of saying, yeah, I know that you need to renounce the role of the guardian of your way of thinking so that it can be corrected. Anybody else have anything about that paragraph that they wanted to get any clarification on or wanted to discuss in that paragraph?
I don't know if it was in that paragraph or not, but you said something about, you know, us being separate identity.
Yeah, we dream of a separate identity and we believe in a world that rests upon it. That's the statement at the top of the page. We said you dream of a separated ego and believe in a world that rests on your separated ego.
Okay, and I know that we're all one, but I've always thought of it as we're one as in the drop of water in the ocean is one with the ocean, and yet there's still a separate drop of water.
Really, when you think about it, the separate drop of water is an illusion.
So,
because the minute you drop it in the ocean, it doesn't exist. If it was a real separate drop of water, it would still be separate even when you dropped it in the ocean. You see what I'm saying? If it's really separate, then it would always be separate. But but that's what he's saying. You think that you're separate and you have a whole world based on the idea that you're separate. And then you're protective of that whole idea that you're separate. And then you have your way of thinking that you're guarding. And he's saying what you need to do is stop guarding your way of thinking and open it up to your higher self so that your higher self can gently correct your erroneous way of thinking, because it's your erroneous way of thinking that's causing your fear and causing your pain. But you're so busy guarding the way you look at things, because you have a whole world based on the way that you look at things, that you're not really open up to learning. You're not really open to it being corrected for you. We believe that our very safety rests on keeping it the way we think it is. It's what he's saying. And to really open up and to really be healed, you got to renounce the role that you're going to be the one that guards your way of thinking. Because the Holy Spirit is trying to teach you everything that it knows, to the point that you don't need the Holy Spirit anymore. You don't need a voice for God because you are totally aware of God. You're aware of the truth. And that's what the Course is trying to do. It's trying to get us to the point that our mind has been corrected so that we can have peace. If the Course is for people who want peace of mind. It's not for people who only want an SUV. Because you can get an SUV without having awareness of God. You know, it's not necessary to have anything in the material world. It's not necessary to be aware of your true identity, obviously. because most people have stuff in the world and they're not a bit more aware of their true identity as a spiritual being than man in the moon. So we know that the Course isn't talking about material things because basically from a Course perspective, that's not even important. What's important is if I'm going to have peace. What's important is my peace. Okay? So, if you have more questions, we'll keep going. This section is the chapter that describes everything you need to know about the ego. And then the one after it is the chapter that gives you in-depth descriptions about everything you need to know about what the Holy Spirit is. So 4 and 5. Four is dealing with the ego, 5 is dealing with Holy Spirit. So if you have a lot of confusion about what's the Holy Spirit, what's the ego, if you would have studied chapter 4 and chapter 5, then you would have an excellent idea about what is the ego, what is the Holy Spirit. Because what he's doing, if you notice as I read through this, he's telling you what the ego does so you recognize. Like the next sentence he says, egos can clash in any situation. Spirit cannot clash at all. If you perceive a teacher as merely a larger ego, you will be afraid, because to enlarge an ego would be to increase your anxiety about separation. So the bigger the ego you have, the more anxiety you go through. Jesus says, or your higher self, whatever works for you, I will teach with you and live with you if you think with me. But my goal will always be to absolve you finally from the need for a teacher. So Jesus says, I'll teach with you, I'll live with you if you will. But here's the big if. If you will think with me. But my goal is to get you to the point that you don't even need me, because you'll be so aware of the truth yourself. He says, this is the opposite of the ego-oriented teacher's goal. If you are an ego-oriented teacher, then you're concerned with the effect of your ego on others' egos, and therefore interpret their interaction as a means of ego preservation. So it's only the ego that's concerned with the effect of your ego on somebody else's ego. So the ego is the only part of you that's concerned about egos. So if I'm concerned about how I express myself, how that's going to affect somebody's ego, then I got to be in my ego. He says, being concerned about other people's egos is a way of preserving the ego. Being concerned about other people's fears and fearful thoughts is a way of preserving your own fears and fearful thoughts. Because the ego is nothing, the Course says, it's nothing but a fearful thought. So if the word ego seems abstract to you, all you got to say is fearful thought, fearful mind. If you say fearful thought, fearful mind, then the ego won't seem so abstract. And when you say Holy Spirit, you're saying loving thought, loving mind. Another definition from the Course of the ego is wrong-mindedness, and a definition of the Holy Spirit is right-mindedness. So whenever it says Holy Spirit, it's talking about your right mind. Whenever it's talking about the ego, it's talking about your wrong mind. Okay, everybody with me on that? So he says, I would not be able to devote myself to teaching if I believe this, and you will not be a devoted teacher as long as you believe it. Believe what? That as long as you believe in the effect of your ego on others' egos, as long as you believe that you're this separate identity, as long as you believe anything that's not the truth, then you can't be a devoted teacher, because how can I be a teacher of something that's true if I'm not willing to practice it? So he says, I am constantly being perceived as a teacher, either to be exalted or rejected. Jesus said, people either are exalting me or rejecting me. He says, but I don't accept either perception for myself. And to me, he's giving me an example of how I'm supposed to look at it being a teacher. And really, all of us are teachers. So we mustn't think about that it's talking about in terms of officially being in front of a group like I'm doing. He's saying, you're teaching all the time. You're a teacher all the time. So he's saying that, so people are either exalting you or they are rejecting you. And he says, but you don't you accept either one of those interpretations for yourself. So somebody said, Earl, you're the greatest teacher in the world. I appreciate that, but I can't let that go to my head. And if they say you're the worst teacher in the world, I got to do the same thing. You got a right to say that, but I can't let that affect whether or not I do what I'm going to do. So you can exalt me or you can reject me, but I can't accept either one of those interpretations. It's like a movie star saying he doesn't read the reviews, because if he believes the good review, then he's got to also believe the bad review. he's got to get credit to both of them, so he just don't read the reviews at all. You know, and I can totally relate to that because it's all so subjective. You go to 9 different critics, you get 9 different reviews.
So what you with the art.
Same thing with the art, right? So what you do if you're going to use a critic at all, what you would do is you would see which critic whose movie tastes seem to be in line with yours. And you can kind of tell the ones that like the ones you like and tend not to like the ones you don't like. And so if you're going to use one at all, you're going to use somebody that's at least thinking along the same lines as you. And so the Course is telling us that we've got to stop accepting either perception of ourselves, that we need people to exalt us or that we need people to reject us. Either one of them has nothing to do with our perception of ourselves. Okay, any thoughts about that chapter?
That's one of the first lessons I learned as an artist, is to do what you said.
Which one? Which part of what I said?
About not accepting someone who's really exalting you.
Yeah.
Someone comes and says, I'm the greatest artist you've ever seen. And someone walks up and says, I don't like any of your work.
Mm-hmm.
And I've learned not to take that personally.
Right. Yeah. Either one.
Yeah.
Either one. Good. Good. Be a much peaceful career.
Yes. It's been that way.
So, Earl, since we're human beings and we do live for the moment in the world and we have to do things like jobs and...
There's a lot of people that, you know, that don't have jobs. It's making it.
So we don't need an ego even for survival in the world.
We don't need anything but God. That's the truth. The truth is, every other need that we have is a made-up need. Well, all we need is our Creator. All we need is our Creator.
So are we not learning if we don't go the whole way and say, I don't need this job, I'm just going to go steady God?
It's not about the job. If it's time for you to leave that job and go study God, you would not be afraid. If it was really time for you to leave that job and go study God, you would not be afraid. See, that's what the ego. That's what it's hard for our ego to accept, because it's too easy to tell now whether it's your ego or not. Because if it was really time for me, when it was time for me to do the Course in Miracles full time, nothing could have stopped me from going out and doing the Course in Miracles full time, even though I had 2 children in high school. I had child support, and I had an apartment, and I had everything else that anybody else has. But when it was time for me to stop what I was doing, which was a job in the world, and go do the Course in Miracles, I didn't have any fear about it. I knew that it was what I was meant to do, and that if I fulfilled that function, I'd be taken care of, and I was. And that's how you can tell. If you got all that should I, shouldn't I, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, no, you shouldn't. Your ego. And people don't like it that simple. You know, that's what's going to be so deep about. We're going to do the Course at another level in here. And if you do have the books, you know, if you think about, stop bringing, because I'm going to get even more book intensive. And you'll find that it's hard to stay conscious when you get really deep into the Course without the book. If it's more of me just talking conversationally, you can pretty much do it. But if I'm working with the book, you'll find that it'll be much more difficult for you to stay conscious just listening. You'll be tempted to nod out. You know, just take a little tip. Unless you're taking notes or writing or doing something to occupy your body, you have to get your body involved to get into the deeper levels of the Course. Just to stay focused, you got to do something.
Just simply give your ego something to deal with.
Right. You got to literally give your ego something to deal with so you can hear what the material is saying, you know. Yeah, you gotta let it take notes. You gotta let it follow along in the book. You gotta let your ego do something. You gotta let your ego do something. Then what you do with your body is very symbolic of your willingness to receive anyway. It's like when you get your body involved, it impresses your mind more. You know? Yeah.
I'm confused. Mhm. If like God doesn't want to be people say it all the time, like, praise the Lord, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't really care about that then. Yeah. He doesn't really care if you exonerate him or if you exalt him or if you reject him. Then what's he want? Just love?
What God wants is a willingness on your part to let God extend itself through you out into the environment where you are. Love needs your permission to come through you. to do its thing. So it's not asking for your appreciation, it's asking for your willingness to love. It's asking for your willingness to let the truth come through you. Yeah. The Course says that God doesn't, Jesus, God, none of them need our appreciation, but we do. So all the appreciation I'm, he's saying, all the appreciation I'm giving to God, I need to be giving it to you, and I need to be giving it to me. He said, we need to be giving each other the appreciation that we're trying to give to God. I know so many people that love Jesus and will step over their brother that was laying in the gutter bleeding. But they love Jesus. They just have a total love affair with Jesus. Hey, y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. You know, it's like they love Jesus, love Jesus, love Jesus, but they can't speak to you. They love Jesus, love Jesus, love Jesus, but they don't even acknowledge that you even exist. And you've seen people like that. They swear they're totally in love with God, and they have no relationship with their brothers and sisters whatsoever. And that's not true.
So all he wants is the willingness to have love come through.
Yeah, just the Course is trying to get us to have that little bit of willingness to let love come through us, and then let love create the form that's best for us in our lives. So then the love comes through, and then the love would draw to you the right people. The love would draw to you the right form of what you're supposed to be doing in the world, whether you would call it a job or whether you would. The Course calls it the echo of God. It's like the echo of God is the happy form, which the Course calls the happy dream. You know, it's like first you had an unhappy dream that you think you're in lack, then you have the happy dream that the Course says that you see yourself surrounded by abundance, and then you wake up. Because the Course says you won't want to listen. You know, so once you see the truth bring you happiness where you are, you're much more open to the truth moving you into levels that you're not even aware of. So most people try to go from misery to God. And the Course says you're not going from misery to God. You're going from misery to happy where you are to God. You know, which really the ego would like to hear that anyway. Because all the resistance that the ego to me has to the Course is to think somehow or another it's not going to get a chance to enjoy the physical reality. So the minute you tell the ego, well, the happy dream is you not perceiving yourself as having any forms of lack. The ego go, oh, okay, let's study the Course. You know, if you promise the ego that if you study the Course in Miracles, you're going to make $1,000 a week, the ego will be studying the Course every day. You tell the ego you study the Course, you're going to have a soulmate, the ego will study the Course every day. You have to give your ego some reason to go for the truth, and you'll find you won't have any discipline about anything that the Course is talking about. Think about it.
Yeah.
You know, but the funny thing is, if you really go for God and you go for the truth, then all those other things are just added anyway. That's what, you know, the Bible says. That's very true. Teach you first the kingdom of heaven, then everything else will be added. That's really the truth. The once you dedicate yourself to fulfilling your function of healing your sense of separation from God, and that becomes your top priority, then you're not gonna starve, and you're going to be taken care of. But you can't fake God and you can't fake yourself. You can't pretend that you really want God when all you really want is your bills paid. Which is what people do. They'll go, well, I pretend I'm really after God, but the real reason why I'm here is because I've really got this big financial problem that I need to get healed. And somehow if I get into God, I'm going to get my financial problem solved. But if I get into God, I won't have a financial problem.
I'm getting with again.
Yeah, I'm just doing it to get. But spirit knows that that's the way the ego operates, and there's no such thing as sin and guilt, so we're not being condemned for doing it. It's not like we're going to be punished for playing that game, but it's just kind of funny that we think the infinite intelligence is not aware that we're playing that game. The Course is what you should do is you should ask for the correct perception of money. And you should ask for, if you've got a health problem, you should ask for the correct perception of the body. It says that whatever the thing you're having a problem with, you should ask for the correct perception of it. So instead of asking for money, and it's not a crime if you do, but the attitude that's more in line with the Course would be, I would like to have the correct perception of money. I'd like to have the correct perception of paying my bills. I'd like to have the correct perception of my career. I'd like to have the correct perception of special relationships. I'd like to have the correct perception of sex. I'd like to have the correct perception of anger. I'd like to have the correct perception of depression. I'd like to have the correct perception of addiction. I'd like to have the correct perception of murder. I'd like to have the correct perception of war. I'd like to have the correct perception of racism. I'd like to have the correct perception of the Democrats. I'd like to have a correct perception of the Republicans. I'd like to have a correct, the Course that you would always just say, I want the correct perception of it. If you really want to get it healed, you want another way of looking at it. where the ego says, heal my body, heal my money, give me the person. You know, the ego does, okay, so now I got a new person with my old perceptions. I'm going to screw that relationship up too. Right. Now I got the lottery and I got $5 million. Now I got the money, but I still got my own lack of consciousness. So somehow or another, I'm gonna blow the five million. So what I really need is another perception. I need another way of looking at it, then I won't lose it. Why did I lose all those relationships? Probably because of my perception, the way I was doing them, the way I was interpreting them.
That really works.
It really, the course works.
The
course is one of the few things that I can say in total confidence that if a person applies the ideas, really apply the idea, it will work. If they really apply the idea. The only reason why it didn't work is you didn't apply it. Even if you think you did, just go ahead and say, well, I thought I did, but I didn't. I fooled myself like I really did it, but I didn't. You know, I thought I forgave them, but I really didn't. How do I know? I'm mad again. So I never really forgave them the first time. You know, the course calls it rehearsing. Like, be willing to rehearse. But don't, like I said, because rehearsal is where we clean up all the mistakes, right, my man? You know, and they're right. That's where you clean up all your errors is in rehearsal. So we're rehearsing being loving. We're rehearsing being forgiving. We're rehearsing what you would say if you had prosperity conscious. We're rehearsing what you would say if you really was practicing the truth. This is nothing but a rehearsal, y'all. It's a dress rehearsal because we got clothes on. It's a dress rehearsal. I'm rehearsing saying I forgive my father. I'm rehearsing saying I believe I create everything that happens to me. I'm rehearsing saying I believe I'm one with God. I'm rehearsing. I'm just rehearsing. I'm learning the lines. I'm learning what I'm supposed to be thinking and what I'm supposed to be saying. Stop thinking that you really believe any of this because you're saying it half-heartedly every now and then.
But how long does it take? I mean, if you're really earnestly trying and you come here and you read the book and you...
When you really do it, you'll get the result.
You observe your thinking and your behavior and you try to catch yourself when you get into those dark places and replace them with lessons or whatever that will put you back into a place of peace. How long does it take before all that just kind of... isn't a rehearsal anymore?
When you apply it consistently, then your mind will get in the habit of thinking right, just like it's in the habit now of thinking wrong.
Because my ego keeps...
You're very young in the course.
Stop it.
Anybody that's been in the, if you've been in the course seriously less than a year, the workbook takes a year. So to me, almost like for anybody to believe that they're going to reverse a lifetime's worth of thinking in anything less than a year is unrealistic. I think it's unrealistic to think you're going to do it in a year. What I think is cool is that each year I choose more and more peace for myself. So it doesn't really matter to me how long it's going to take. That only matters to you when you're not perceiving improvement in yourself. If you're seeing improvement in yourself, you're okay with it being one step after another. If you think you're not seeing improvement, then you get impatient about how soon am I going to get this. You know, but you're very much still in the part of it that you analyze it. And that's a very normal stage. And so right now, in my observation, you're still very much in the analyzing of the course, which is good to me because at least it means you're giving some thought to the concepts that you're reading on the page. So it thrills me whether a person's analyzing it or asking questions or whatever, because at least they're putting some energy into it. You know, what blows my mind sometimes is how we can hear stuff so radically different from everything we've ever heard in our life and not have a comment or not have a question or not have an aha. That's the part that blows me away. You know, because it's not like nothing this book says is what we hear in our everyday reality. So it's like to treat it as if it's ordinary knowledge is funny to me. Don't you think that's kind of weird?
Wouldn't improvement be exalting the ego?
What?
Wouldn't improvement be saying I'm exalting the ego?
Well, see, that would be just the ego trying to come up with another reason why you shouldn't feel good about yourself. Yeah, just think about that. If you're exalting yourself, and that's something just that the ego would do. And the course is saying, you're right, exaltation over everybody else is a total ego thing. You know what I'm saying? And that's why when people, and that's what it was saying, when people exalt you, they're either going to exalt you or they're going to reject you. But the ego is going to do one or the other. The ego is either going to see you as the greatest thing that it ever saw, or it's going to find constant reasons to judge you and say what's wrong with you. So you know that. We all see it. We all do it. You know, the same people that have said you're the greatest teacher that ever lived will be the same people that 6 months later say, you know, that Earl Purdy is kind of a weird guy. You know, I've seen it a million times. You know, it's the Jesus Christ. I mean, Jesus, to me, people can let go of their religious bias based on the incredibly crazy stuff we all learned growing up. Then there really are some really great lessons in the life of Jesus. I mean, just some incredibly true. What did Jesus do? Jesus healed many. What happened to Jesus? They crucified him. Then what happened? He came back. That's our story. We do that all the time. We do that. We get exalted, then we get our feelings hurt, and then we come back. And then we do it again. And then we get exalted, and then you know how it is like in a new relationship. All y'all do is exalt each other. You can't do nothing wrong. Everything is cool. You know, and then after a while, what's happening? I'm pointing out everything about you that's not okay. Yeah, and then what? Then I get crucified, and you get crucified, right? And then what happens? Then I resurrect again. I get a brand new relationship. I come back out fighting. I say I'm going to be better than I was the last time. We do it all the time. But the thing that's funny is that the people who did the crucifixion were the same people that he healed. Because sometimes when you help people who believe that they're guilty, they punish the person that tries to help them because they don't think they deserve to be helped. So of course they want to get rid of the person that's helping them if they believe they don't deserve to be helped. You're going to be the first one that's going to probably be expendable because you're the one that's giving the person that doesn't love themselves the very love they don't think they deserve. That's why you set yourself up every time you fall in love with an insecure person. You fall in love with an insecure person, you fall in love with somebody who truly can't appreciate the love that you're giving them unless they have really made the choice themselves, that they're really ready to see themselves differently. For real. So when you read the course, there's no more excuses for 99% of the errors that you make. And ignorance is a great excuse. People love to use ignorance as an excuse. I just didn't know any better. This book wakes you up. So all of a sudden, you do know better. You might go ahead and do it anyway, Earl, but you know better.
I hate that part.
Yeah, you know, you just want to go ahead and admit you want to make this mistake. And just admit it to yourself. Just go, you know, hey, I know this person isn't best for me, but I really want to be with them really, really bad. And so I'm going to go ahead and be with them, and I'm going to deal with what comes out of that. Because I know they're not really where I want them to be, but I really got to have them. You have peace with those people. You got to tell yourself the truth. Tell yourself the truth. It's not, you know, that's what I'm trying to do now all the time. Earl, what's your purpose? Wait, what do you want to do this for? Where are you coming from? I know. I was at a party last night, and this young lady was talking about when she was hormone driven, and she was about 15 years old, and her boyfriend was a born again Christian, and they were born again parents, and they invited them to go on a camping trip, and the daddy had the tent pitched between the tent that she was in and the tent that her boyfriend was in, so it was two boys in the tent, and then it was two girls in the tent that was in, but the parents was, you know, was there to make sure when nothing happened. So they just decided to they wanted to be with each other so bad they just decided to drug the daddy and knock him out. So he got some Dramamine or some kind of sleeping tablet or something, and they grind it up. And then when he was eating his chili, he turned his head, they popped the stuff in his chili, and then he went to sleep, passed out later, and then they got a chance to let their hormones go wild. But it was so funny to me. It was such a funny story to me because it's just a classic example of what the ego would do to get what it wants in any situation. The ego would justify anything in order to get what it wants, you know. And but also I saw the innocence of it too. It was funny. But most people wouldn't have seen it. They'd be too appalled. But they're kids. They're teenagers, of course. Teenagers do anything. That's the definition of teenager. That's why you're teenager. Is that you go do, you know. But I tell you what, sometimes I wonder, Did I enjoy my life more when I was more ignorant but willing to do things and take chances, but yet I had all these incredible experiences that I never would have had I not done something so stupid? Or do I like the little safe kind of so-called adult point of view that's scared to do anything, that never does anything, and then dies? You know, because that's what I see. Most adults, they tend not to have a big sense of adventure. They tend not to try new things. They tend to be very set in their ways. Well, at least young people, they might make some mistakes, but they're willing to get out there and try something. So what if you could mix that enthusiasm for life with some conscious awareness? To me, that would be the ideal situation. That's what I'm trying to pull off. I'm not going to lose my enthusiasm for life, but I'm also trying to have some sense about what I'm doing. And the Holy Spirit will direct me, because the Holy Spirit knows everybody who could play with me just the way I am, peacefully.
There you go.
See, that's what people don't know. The Holy Spirit already knows who could be in a relationship with you where you are right now, peacefully. And the Holy Spirit will direct those people in situations to you. The book says it over and over again, but my ego is so big that it still thinks this book is saying I'm supposed to figure all this out by myself. It's still convinced that the answer is, Earl, you making up your own happiness on your own by yourself, instead of me going, no. The truth is, there's a part of me that if I stop guarding my way of thinking, can gently correct my thinking and heal me now, today. That's cool. So this is something talking. We're gonna give some more stuff. We want it so our ego cannot hide from us. That's how you become safe. You don't let your ego hide from you. You know as soon as it show up. He says, your worth is not established by teaching and learning. Your worth is established by God. As long as you dispute that your worth is established by God, everything you do will be fearful, particularly in a situation that lends itself to the belief in superiority and inferiority. So if you want to stop being afraid when you're in any situation that it looks like somebody might be better than you or less than you, you got to realize that nothing about your value is being established by that thing you're doing. That's what he's saying to us. That your worth is not going to be, you're not valuable because you demonstrate the truth, and you're not valuable because you're learning the truth. And you're not valuable because you're still valuable whether you're learning the truth or whether you're teaching. In other words, he's saying your value is not determined by anything you do in the world. There's nothing in the world that determines your value. And as long as you think your value is at stake, then you're going to be afraid in any situation where there's competition. Then he goes on to tell us, teachers must be patient. You are a teacher. You must be patient. And then my mind says, well, what does that mean, Holy Spirit? What does that mean to be patient? Well, he says it means to repeat your lessons until you learn them. So how do I know if I'm patient? I'm willing to do this over and over again until I get it. That's the definition of patience. Isn't it amazing how patient we are with the things that cause us pain? Have you ever noticed that? That we'll do the same relationship with the same person over and over again. That's patient. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll have patience about repeating the same lessons over and over again that don't bring us happiness. And so he says, now you need to start to be patient about repeating the lessons over and over again that will bring you what you want. So that would be me going over and over again, if somebody's not seeing my value, or somebody's attacking me, saying no to that person and no to that relationship. No to that person, no to that relationship. I'm repeating it over and over again. Every time I come up with a criticism against myself, every time I come up with some way I'm trying to limit myself, I have to repeat the lesson over and over again. Don't do it, Earl. Don't do it again. Don't do that again. That's the only afterward message of any lesson that you've had in the past. Just don't do it again. My ego said, no, feel guilty about it. And the core said, no, just do only this. Just do this. Just do this. What? Communicate. Communicate in separation. If you communicate honestly, people will communicate honestly back to you. If you really communicate honestly, and then you will know what kind of situation you're dealing with. But most people are too afraid to honestly communicate because they can't handle the communication that's going to come back to them.
Amen.
That's why they won't do it. They're ready to tell you what they think of you, but they're not ready to hear what you think of them. Because if they be honest with you about what they think of you, this won't trigger the part of you that wants to be honest with them about what you've been hiding. We've seen that in relationships. Like, soon as they go off on you, we say, well, let me tell you what I think about what you do about da, 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 da. See, you be straight up and people feel that that you're really coming at them with your real feeling about them. They're going to come back at you with their real feeling about you. You know,
but then there's you with you. There's you with your ego.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've decided that my ego has a whole building full of costumes of denial.
Uh-huh.
So stuff happens, and if you're not...
If you have to sign this sheet, let me get you to sign this one.
Denial has a different costume, and so what I'm getting out of the course is I'm practicing it differently now.
Practicing what different? Are you going to tell me now? Okay.
After 20 years and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, the other night, my wife got into her work addiction stuff,
mm-hmm.
so we didn't have any intimate time.
Mm-hmm.
So in the morning, for breakfast, I could feel that coldness start on me.
Okay.
That subtle, keep your mouth shut stuff. And then I thought, well, where's the lesson here? Because I'm denying that I'm doing this.
Okay.
See, that was it.
Okay.
The denial was,
right.
I'm denying
right.
that I'm doing this.
Right.
So she was getting into her car, going to go to work, and I went up to her and I said, you know, I really chose to make myself pissed off about not having time with you last night.
Thank you.
And she looked at me, and that was all I said.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, okay. Got in her car and drove off. And there was, I had a great day. Usually it would be, damn, I knew when I picked her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she knew that, you know, my ego has this
whole
building of these costumes of denial.
Uh-huh,
okay?
Uh-huh,
got, you know, why did I marry a white woman again?
Uh-huh,
no, that shit's all right there. All that shit's there.
Uh-huh,
and what it is my ego's warehouse. Uh-huh. Of costumes of denial.
Well, and it wants me to deny.
Uh-huh. It wants me to deny. Wants me to deny that I made the choices.
Right. It's just like what you were just telling me, Phil, about, telling yourself that the reason why you were having the problem that you were having is because you felt separate. And not the thing that your ego was trying to tell you, the physical thing it was trying to get you all into. Because the ego always wants to get you into the physical reason for the problem. It always wants to get you into the human reason for the problem. That's the first place your ego is going to handle. And his favorite line is, if that other person changed, then I'd be happy. And the book has said that a million times. That's the ego. Any time that comes out of your mouth, that's your ego. There is no time that can come out your mouth that's not your ego. That's always your ego. It's always your ego that says, when the other person changed, then I'll be happy. It always, again, the absolutism of the course is the challenge because it doesn't leave you nowhere to hide, right? But when you went, yeah, and it's my sense of separation from God, I chose to upset myself about you. See, the ego is nailed to the wall when you do that because you expressed your feelings, so you weren't in repression. You admitted you were pissed off, right? But at the same time, you took responsibility for the feeling, so you empowered yourself through your own anger. You actually made yourself stronger. That's the way. That's the way out of here.
And during my meditation, I went through that. You remember you did about a week on decision making?
Uh-huh.
And I started my meditation with, okay, I don't like the way I'm feeling now.
Right.
There's probably another way to look at this.
Right.
And
right.
By the
right.
end of my meditation, it was another level of energy in me. And I don't know about her and I don't know about the other, but there was another level of energy in me. So
I'm
thank
telling
you, brother.
Hey, thank you, brother, for again, the application of the idea. It's like it's the application that will show you that it's true. And you got the piece that the client, the idea gave you.
Yeah.
Just it's not saying you don't have the kind of piece that necessarily make you send up fireworks, but it's still more peace than you would have had you projected the problem as being on her. And that's what the truth is trying to get us to see. Even if it's just a little millimeter. Of more peace. It's more than you would have had you kept the attitude that you were the victim of that other person. You know, but so it's going to drive us crazy. I'm telling you, drive us sane over the next few weeks because it's going to become simple, and I warn you, it's going to become obvious, and you'll see that you're just deciding not to use it. That's all. It's not that you don't understand what the course is saying anymore. You'll get to that level. You'll just get, oh, okay. I'm just deciding I'm not going to do it that way. I can't pretend I don't understand what he just said. I'm just not ready to do it yet. You know, I still need to blame him. I still need to blame her. And then the course will say, well, just admit that. I want to see it this way. He says, if you put I won't in front of whatever it is you're about to say, that's another way to get rid of all projection. It's when you preface it with I won't. You know, I'm broke right now. I want to see myself as broke right now. I'm mad at my mate right now. I want to see myself as mad at my mate right now. If you put I won't in front of it, then you empower yourself. You know, the problem is with the war. I want to see it as if the problem is with the war. I want to see it that way so I can empower myself.
Does that help you change how you see it?
Yeah, absolutely, because the first thing that happens in your mind, if you say, I want to see myself as broke, your mind comes back with, no, I don't. Right, and that's the correction. All of a sudden, you go, I don't want to see it that way. And okay, then you need to see it another way. See, that's right. You don't want to see it that way. But if you see it, but if you admit you're the one that's seeing it that way, the next thought behind that is, I want to change the way I'm seeing this. That's why you want to tell the truth about it. So that you go to the next level and go, I want to see it differently. Okay? All right, so I'm going to stop here. I'm going to do the love offering, and then I'm going to do a quick review of what we covered today before we leave. And I appreciate, I love these classes where we get a chance to go deep into it like this and talk about it, and people can share where they're coming from. That's what I love about the Wednesday class also. Each class has a different focus. And I want us to take advantage of the fact that it's usually a smaller group, so it's good for us to discuss how we're trying to use this and apply it. Yeah, please.
I was going to ask this earlier, but I didn't want to detract from where you were going.
Okay.
But I'll ask it now. Earlier when you were talking about the separation.
Okay, let's just right quick. Okay, then I can see what we're talking about. Hey, y'all, thank you for sharing. Those of you who financially support these classes, I can't tell you, and me, in teaching and continuing this ministry, thank you so much, because without your support, it wouldn't happen. And it has to come through us. God works through us. So God is the source of my supply, but I have to be completely thankful to the channels that are willing to be the channels for that and see no separation. So I want to thank God, and I want to thank you for being in my life and for giving to yourself. So be it. Okay, Keith, now what was your question?
Well, we've talked about being attached to our ego, what we made up.
Uh-huh.
The first thing that went to my mind was, well, will I disappear?
Okay. That's a very reasonable, I mean, a lot of people think that.
Okay, and what about my likes and dislikes? What's the difference between that and then the separation? You like, you know, chocolate chip ice cream, I like strawberry, that sort of thing. I kind of got myself kind of confused with all that.
Okay, when those kind of issues come up, ask yourself, am I trying to choose between illusions? And then you know it's just your ego trying to confuse you.
Okay.
You follow what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. If you say, you're just saying it's about me trying to choose between chocolate chip ice cream and donuts, then you know that's your ego, right? Because it's only your ego that would be concerned with chocolate chip cookies and donuts. So in that case, it don't really matter which one you choose, because both of them are equal in illusion. What matters is the way you're going to make yourself feel about what you do with the chocolate chips and the donuts. Whether you're going to make yourself feel guilty because you ate the chocolate chips and the donuts, or whether you're going to go for your innocence. See, and that's what's cool about the Course. He says that when you're in conflict between two illusions, the truth is don't neither one of them matter. Because if it was really a conflict between something that was real and something that wasn't, that what was real, if you recognize what was real would always win out anyway. It's like you're in this relationship with one person, and it's the coolest relationship you've ever had, and y'all got great communication, and y'all dance, and y'all party, and y'all forgive, and you let each other be, and you just can't hardly wait to communicate and be around each other. Then you got another relationship where you cuss each other out, you criticize each other, you condemn each other, you beat each other, you don't like each other. If you were really be honest, there is no conflict between those two choices because they're too different. You know, so once you really expose to love for real, then you really can't be tempted by this stuff, because love is going to give you everything that you want without the conflict. So it's no sacrifice. You know what I mean? It's the difference between I could teach a Course in Miracles class, and I could have people in the class that are open to the Course like you are. Or I could have a Course in Miracles class where everybody's battling it and fighting it and hating it. Well, which one of those do you think I'm going to choose as being the one that I want to teach? It's no conflict between two things. The Course says that you can clearly see are different. The conflict comes between when you're trying to choose the same thing in a different form. So it looks like both of them are big, you know, it's hard for you to choose. You know, if you're trying to decide whether to stay with a person that you like or not, in a lot of cases, if there was somebody that you really, really liked, you wouldn't even have that conflict. You wouldn't even be trying to think of it. The only reason why you're doing that in most cases is because you don't have a contrast. You don't have an alternative. So it's like, I better try to make it with what I think I got in front of me. So the Course it says it's about getting us to see clearly the difference between the two choices or the two voices, so that we just voluntarily go with the stuff that would be happy for us. You know, so that's what I love about the questions. I don't mind the questions where they seem like they're coming from the ego, because we're at a point where to go to the next level and to save time to answer questions would be helpful. Just as long as we know that we're only going to allot so much time to it, so that we can always make sure every class we're pushing forward in new ideas and new concepts. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's why I always say, well, in my mind, I always say like a 5-minute limit.
Yeah.
Because to tell the truth, and this isn't arrogant, it's not hardly any question that somebody could ask me that I haven't heard 1,000 times, or an answer that after studying the Course so long, I can't tell you what the Course says about that. Now, you may not want to accept it, but they don't have nothing to do with me being able to give you the answer. The problem, the Course says, comes when you want to stick around with a person until they accept the answer. You see what I'm saying? That's the error. It's like, I can give you the answer. I can tell you what my phone number is, and you cannot want to accept that that's my phone number, but I'm not going to stick around with you until you decide to believe that's my phone number. I know it's my phone number, and I know if you call that phone number, you'll get me. So I've already given you the solution. I don't stick around till you decide to use it. And that's what the Course is saying that we've got to stop doing in our lives. You tell the truth, you let the truth come out you, you let the help come out you, but you have to let go of your concern about when that person is going to use it, or if they're going to use it, or when they're going to use it. Because that's the time delaying thing. It's like me giving a person an answer in the class. They don't believe it, so I'm going to spend the rest of the class trying to convince that individual of the truth of what I've said, where everybody else is ready to go on. But the truth is, the person is just not ready to accept that yet. So there's nothing you're going to say that's really going to make any difference. And after a while, you'll learn that. You'll learn that it really don't make no difference what answer I give you, because you've already decided that this is not something that you want to do. So anything I say, you're gonna find a flaw in it, because you're scared. The Course says, when you get scared, you see contradictions and paradoxes. And that saved me a lot in studying this book. He says, does it seem contradictory? Yeah. Does it seem like what it's saying now is, you know, it's the opposite of what it said 5 minutes ago? Yeah. You become afraid of what the Course is about. So now your ego is trying to find everything it can to disagree with, because that would give you an excuse to stop. I said, you're absolutely right. And another one that'll save you, let me give you some more good tips. Another one that'll save you a lot of frustration is, he says that when you try something radically new, the old part of you is going to try to introduce a contradiction just to show you that what you're trying to do isn't true.
Yeah.
So don't be surprised that when you try something new, it appears to fail at the beginning, because the purpose of failing at the beginning is to keep your old self intact. So you should almost just expect something to go wrong at the beginning, or something to try to delay you at the beginning, because that's you trying to keep your old self intact. That's a good one. You see what I'm saying? I'm getting ready to make a... I'm going to go home and I'm going to forgive my daddy that I've had these grievances for 100 years, because the Course says I should forgive, right? What's going to probably happen is, I'm going to try to forgive my dad, and it's going to all not go at all like I wanted it to. Because then I can go, well, see, what the Course said wasn't true. I knew I couldn't forgive my daddy. And see, that's the way it works. You know, it's like you pick the thing that's the hardest for you to do, not succeed in doing it because it is the hardest thing for you to do, then use that as an excuse to throw the whole thing away. That's the way the ego works. That's, you know, you're talking about saving people some ego time. I'm telling you, I can save you some ego time. If you want some, if you can take it, I can save you some ego time, and me some ego time. Because the ego is so obvious now, after so many years of working with this. But people get defensive and they get angry when you peg their ego when they're trying to deceive themselves. So don't be surprised when you tell people the truth and they get mad. If they're trying to deceive themselves, the Court says a person that's trying to deceive themselves responds to the truth as if they're being attacked. So if you go up to a person who, if you go up to your best girlfriend who has the relationship that's wrong for them and you say, that guy isn't any good, she get mad at you. She knows that. She's trying to deceive herself and make it be what it's not, and she doesn't want you to make her aware of what she's trying to deceive herself about. And so they get mad at you. You know, if I'm trying to hide from myself that I'm the one that's creating my reality so that it can look like I'm a victim of everybody else, I'm going to get mad at you when you say I'm responsible for what I see. I don't want to hear that. I think my safety rests on hiding that fact from myself. The book says, I read that yesterday, he says that we believe that our safety rests on hiding the fact that we make our own unhappiness for ourselves. That's how we actually think we stay safe. It's by never admitting that we have anything to do with it. So it helped me understand the process that goes on in the class. It helped me understand the process that was going on with my friends and relatives. That's why they don't jump up and down when I spout something from the Course to them unless they're open to it. It's because they're trying to deceive themselves. And you won't let them. And they think their happiness depends on deceiving themselves. The ego believes its happiness depends on deception. A person that's asleep believes their happiness depends on deceiving themselves or somebody else. They believe that if they tell the truth, the Course says, they believe that if they tell the truth, they're going to lose. And that communication ends up in separation. And it'll point out to you how many times you tried to tell somebody the truth and you ended up losing the relationship. Because the ego is want to convince you that telling the truth is what caused your problem.
Wow.
How many times have you done that one? Said so you was going to tell somebody the truth and be honest, and then y'all had a big, big separation behind you. And that's what the ego wants you to believe. It wants you to believe that if you tell the truth, that you're going to lose. But it's just the opposite. A person that you have no secrets with, that chooses to be with you with an awareness of no secrets, you have a much less chance of losing than someone who doesn't know what's going on. You just have to give people that opportunity to make a conscious choice. You know, it's like, let me tell you the truth about me. I do like to do this, and I do like to do that, and this is the way I am, and that's the way I am, and that's really what I'm about. This is really what I'm about. I'm not going to hide it so that you'll like me. I'm going to tell you how it is, right? And if you really communicate, then that person go, well, I really want to be with you, then you got a much better chance of that relationship lasting because they had a chance to take responsibility than the person who doesn't have any idea about what you like because you've been hiding it, and all of a sudden you start showing them stuff that they didn't know was there. So the ego tells you, well, you hide it, you're going to be okay. But you can't hide from somebody you're going to be with all the time. You can only hide success from somebody you're separate from. So if you're going to join in a relationship, you go, I know it's deep, you're going to be in a relationship you can't successfully hide.
Really?
Really? I mean, the person with you can also choose to overlook what they see as obvious too. But that's because they're choosing to pretend that they don't know. Especially if you study the Course, nobody can hide from you anyway. And you can't hide from anybody either. You just can't. Your egos become so obvious, and that's how you help each other so much. You can save each other so much time because they can see your ego better than you can see your ego, and you can see their ego better than they can see their ego. And if y'all trusted each other, y'all could save each other a lot of time. Instead of getting defensive, you know? It's like, instead of getting, they say, well, can I tell you a pattern that I'm seeing? Okay, go ahead. And then when you get to the point that they can tell you and you go, thank you, which doesn't mean you got to necessarily do what they say or even believe it. But if you can get to that point, you're going to have a lot less pain in your life. You're going to have a lot less pain in your life because people around you are going to stop hiding from you when they feel like you're not going to attack them for telling you the truth.